he's right here, so. Oh, we talked it. He cold talked it.
Okay. Gotta go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by your hosts, Kevin and Mark. As always, this is episode 18, season 3. Let's go, Pablo.
Absolutely flying the kid, isn't he?
He is.
Firstly, I want to apologise for me croaky voice.
Oh, same.
A certain match at Goodison Park this weekend, which got a bit out of control, didn't it?
So, oh, mate. I've
been struggling since.
Just that when that goal went in, I come and stood by you for the second half. Like, so it was like we'd had a couple of beers at half time and then come and stood by you there. And the scenes, mate, just going off on it.
Unbelievable.
One of Everyone the best was ever. Just going bananas, weren't they?
One of the best ever at Goodison, that.
Oh, mate.
So loud. Anyway, back on to Pablo.
Pablo.
Yeah. Flying, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's back to back wins, really. And essentially, obviously, had the major in between, but. On the DP World Tour.
He played four rounds in the major, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Very well in the major. So, onwards and upwards for Pablo. We'll come on to him on the review later. Do you know who else is flying?
Who?
Me back nine on Friday.
Oh, my God.
7 out of 9 greens in regulation. Was knocking it to a good 15 foot, wasn't I? 12 foot, 15 foot every time. No, over-exaggerated.
Delusions of grandeur you've got.
Well, that's how I remember it. And even on 15... I hit the green and it just rolled off, so it could have been 8 out of 9.
Yeah. Now, you were hitting it good, like. You were hitting it good.
One over a shot back nine.
You've just got your little spot that you just put it, haven't you, that you know it's sweet over there.
Yeah. Well, that's what you go back to Chris Anton's episode, as long as you know you miss.
Yeah, but, I suppose.
Yeah.
But brought back down to earth quickly Sunday, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put the anticipation and nerves leading up to the game of Goodison to blame for that. It's not as doing now. I'm definitely back, like.
Speaking of like flying on the nines, mate, I was 3 under through 6 that round.
Yeah.
And then just made a terrible mistake on the...
I think because we've played twice in 3 days, I forget what happened. So yeah, you was. That eagle on 4, man.
On camera and everything, beast, wasn't it?
Ridiculous.
But then I was thinking in my mind, I was like, right, going on to the 8th, thinking if you make a 2 on the 8th, you're 5 under here. And then just did like
Cardinal sin.
You know, I've messed that. I've got that tee shot wrong twice, both days there. It's either way further left, innit? Or it's shorter.
On what hole?
7.
Yeah. You need to go right over the corner. Because if you, with the way that you hit it, if you go over the bunkers or even just a little left of the bunkers, you're going to run out.
And run out twice.
Yeah. So that's always a tough tee shot because even if you do go further left, you're not guaranteed the bounce.
No.
It's tight down there, to be honest, but as I say, it is a giveaway birdie if you get it in the gap.
Yeah,
there,
but even like coming in from 250 or 240, you can half it like a 4 iron, and it, once it gets over that hill, it all scoots
well,
down.
I hit driver, and I was a bit further right and shorter, wasn't I? And I hit 5 iron, so where was I? I had an eagle put there, didn't I?
No,
just
yeah.
Just off,
yeah.
That was only a 5 iron in.
That's what I mean.
It's a lot shorter because the elevation over the hill.
Yeah.
And it's downhill to the green.
It was just that, I just got that all wrong both days, really. But, yeah, it's a nice nick, isn't it? Green's a touch slow, obviously protecting them because you got the amateur coming up.
They will. They'll be protecting them for the am, definitely, yeah. I mean, they were rolling through, though, weren't they?
Yeah, oh, nice,
You didn't miss a thing, you.
Especially on day one, I didn't day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you fucking, when you're my partner.
You know what I mean? Oh. It was, it was a good couple of days. Weather was nice.
Yeah.
You got sunstroke, which always helps. Put you to bed early on Sunday, which was happy.
Yeah. Well, the main Monday, I was all right, yeah.
Yeah.
No hangover.
No, it's good.
And it was good, but you know what I mentioned, didn't I? Obviously, when I was pissed off and done my walk-off the other week, said, like, I need to sort my shit out with, like, my weight, and I've lost a bit more weight. Last week was the first week that I've done 5 days in a row in the gym,
nice.
In the circuit, so I went every day. And even the Friday morning, done the 6 to 7 class in the morning, we teed off 10:45 and just felt like relaxed and not stiff for the whole day and felt like I could turn and swing a bit more. So I think that's the bit of the ingredients. You know, Rory said he always needs to work out before he plays, hasn't he? And I can see me and Rory. I don't know where I'm going with this. But
no, but listen, like when you get there rushing and you're late for your tee time, you got to remember all that adds up to it as well. Like you've been in the gym, you've done a few bits, you've got everything out your way, you've come down, you've hit balls, you've it's a lot of factors involved in the.
Well, even when we played Lancaster, though, like I played all right at Lancaster towards the back, like middle of the back nine, didn't I?
Yeah, after the 3 pints before wore off.
I had 3 pints there, yeah. Got to be careful here, haven't I? Because I went to the gym before Lancaster, but also had a few pints. So,
yeah, like.
Not really sure what the benefit
is. It's one
is.
Of them, isn't it? Like, it's.
I do honestly think that for me, because I am stiff, I'm just a stiff guy, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, I honestly do think it benefits me to go and do a full workout because it weren't just a stretch off and a loosen off. It was a full HIIT training session with like.
But that doesn't really make sense still, does it? Because it would surely be stiffer.
Well, no, because you're warming all the muscles up. Does that make sense?
I know it does like, make all sense.
All the muscles
in
are
warm thing,
and
but...
all the muscles are like stretchable. Is that the right word? They stretch a bit more.
Fucking Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong and Mr. Muscle together.
No
yeah.
way.
No, but I'm yeah, I'm almost below 19 stone now.
Nice.
And I was over 21 at one stage, so
sick.
Slowly man. Coming down.
It's good to keep at it, though, isn't it?
That's it. Well, it's consistency, like we always say, isn't
That's it? That's it, man.
Yeah, but no, I really enjoyed the golf.
Yeah, no, it was good 2 rounds. It's just I should really be playing more of Formby All, but just spent all my money down yesterday anyway.
Why not, lad? Yeah.
Yeah.
On to golf news. What have you got to start with?
Just the Ludvig Åberg joins Jon Rahm as the only person to win the Ben Hogan Award twice.
Some player, any does
he's,
big, yeah, big
he's got his PGA Tour
it.
Card.
Yeah, from
and
the university things.
He's won
that?
The university things, and that's yeah. Sam Bennett. Remember him from the Masters?
Yeah.
He's come fifth in the NCAA thing, and he's got a full Korn Ferry status. So
he's playing this week as well, the Memorial, Sam Bennett.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Well, there you go. Brilliant.
About 250-1 or something. He's up there. Isn't
there you go. And then another little NCAA thing. Oregon's Greg Shulg. He's like a young lad. I think he's a freshman.
Not heard
or something.
Of him, no.
No, I don't think you would have. He's looked young on the picture, but he stood on a tee and impaled his
see
foot.
That. Yeah. Had to withdraw, didn't
and
he?
And had to withdraw from the tournament. So that meant it was like a two or three scores out of four count, however they do it.
Yeah, yeah,
and
the lad the team,
he was only two over through like X amount of holes, and the lad who ended up shooting 78 or something, and a score had to count, so it knocked him out of the top four or whatever. I don't know the full ins and outs of what that is means, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah, your team score. There's five that play, isn't it? At varsity level, and I think it's three of the five score.
Well, there you go. So then,
if he'd have been one of the three and he got knocked out, the other two scores would have been higher. One of them would have had to come in, yeah.
Yeah, heavy. So, but I don't understand what sort of tee that he's standing on there.
I know.
Like,
and what shoes has he got on? It's going straight through.
I don't know. Don't get it. I don't know. I just don't understand it, me.
No.
Absolutely barmy.
But yeah, on the point of amateurs, then we might as well move on to Rose Zhang finally turns professional.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, she became the first woman to win back to back NCAA individual titles. And she's now got more victories as a Stanford golfer than Tiger Woods. She's broke Sick. Tiger's record, yeah. She won the Smith Salver as leading amateur at last year's Open. And she's also gotten a special exemption for this year's Women's Open at Walton Heath.
She's probably going to win it.
I know. Wouldn't surprise you, would it? This is her third Open. She's only 20. She spent 141 weeks at the top of the amateur rankings. And she also won the Augusta National Women's Amateur this year and the US Amateur Championship in 2020.
Do you reckon she was waited to beat Tiger's thing before turning pro?
That would have definitely been in her sights, yeah.
Crazy.
Especially
that.
If you're so close to doing it and you've still got time left in university, you're not going to
turn pro just for...
If you get any chance to beat Tiger's record, like he'll be gutted with that as well, won't he? Tiger had done a couple of years though, didn't he, I suppose?
Yeah.
Rose Zhang, it'd be interesting to see how it goes. Obviously, a lot of, like Ludvig, you know, there's a lot of promise about where these can go. But, you know, like Morikawa and players like that, can they arrive on the scene and jump straight into the big league?
Mm. Not only that, can they do it and then keep doing it?
Yeah. What other news have you got?
Just Claude Harmon's comments, really.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like,
that lead nicely onto the live.
Caused a stir that. Like, players in LIV were, like, seen, like, reading them on the putting green and things like that and being like, what is he? He's getting absolutely bananas on all the media and all different outlets. I was listening to a clip from the No Laying Up, and Claude actually pulled him, they were on Kevin, someone, aside and was like, you've said this and you've said that about Liv, and you don't give him a fair shot and you don't do this. And he was like, he's like, well, for one, Claude, I don't even know that you didn't even know that you knew who I was. So thank you for that.
Boss.
You know what I mean? And like, I don't know, just some of his things, like just speaking about Tiger, they'd only doing a few years, but he was talking about Tiger, like we've said a few times, about getting money to go. And like, you got, what, to get 60, 70 million off Nike out of college,
signing,
going
yeah.
to his first tournament in a private jet and all that. It's the same dance. It's just for a load of people, not just
But it's
one.
Been happening for years, haven't they? Like, people get appearance fees, but it's just not publicly announced. And it's just been one of those things that, oh yeah, that happens, get them over there. There's been plenty of times, I'm sure, where Tiger's played over on the European tour and he's got an appearance fee for it.
Of course.
So yeah, I think it's always been that model and a concept in golf that if you are a top player and you are somebody who brings in the fans and then ultimately brings in the sponsors and the money, then you're going to get paid for that.
Yeah, no, so you should as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've read his comments and you know he has gone a bit OTT with it, but ultimately he's calling out that like some people have said what they've said at the beginning. But just I've been a bit stubborn and not changing the tune.
Yeah.
I think that's the main point I got from it. It's like, but then now to see what Liv has done, and it is an entertaining product. You can watch it and enjoy golf. It's not an exhibition. They are turning up to majors and competing and winning major championships. They are still world-class golfers. So it does belong in golf, the Liv Golf League.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It'd just be nice to see more of a fairer representation.
I think Koepka obviously winning the PGA has like caused that them bullets to start getting wrapped off.
Well, yeah, he's probably felt like that
he was
for a while.
Now.
But if there's ever a time for me to have a go, it's now when I've got my boy.
I've got
just
like,
won a PGA
exactly,
champs.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, it's he made.
And we spoke to him.
What?
And we spoke to him
at the live event. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He wasn't as open then, was he?
No, but he sort of said like, "Great event, great days,
good concept.
Players
yeah.
doing well."
No,
good
he
concept.
Was. And he was speaking to everyone, wanting to be fair to him, walking around with the crowds and watching Brooks. It was DJ at the time, wasn't it? Brooks
DJ,
wasn't there.
I think, yeah.
Brooks wasn't there, yeah. He even mentioned, you know, like when DJ was playing well last year and Cam Smith was playing well last year and the way Brooks has played last year and sort of, you know, people aren't giving them a fair shot. But when Liv does become a challenge to the PGA Tour, which eventually it may become as big as the PGA Tour. You don't know what the future holds, do you? It's obviously not there now. The PGA Tour is still the number one, holds the world rankings, holds the pathways to the top in the game, doesn't it? And the majors, the Ryder Cup, the President's Cup, etc.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an interesting watch, isn't it? And on the point of Liv, I just wanted to talk about the final bit of golf news I've got is we've been speaking about it for a couple of weeks now about the relegation, and obviously Siwan Kim has been struggling at the bottom, hasn't he? And you know, is he going to get relegated? Well, there's been some more news about how that format's gonna
yeah,
work.
I was waiting for just like the official announcement because there was a lot of rumors about League Two or going to the Asian tour and getting back in and all this stuff.
But I'd just like your thoughts, and obviously I'll run through it now and we'll have a good chat about what we think. So the first thing to call out is the captains can't be relegated. So the Majestics have got three captains, haven't they? With Westwood, Poulter and Stenson. So in total, with the other 11, there's 14 captains in total. So none of them...
Why have the Majestics got three captains?
I don't know why they've got three captains, to be honest. But yeah, they have. And anybody who finishes in the top 24 is safe. But those ranked from 25 to 44, they're called what's in an open zone. Those finishing 45th, 46th, 47th and 48th, they'll then be relegated. And then there's going to be a promotional tournament. And that promotional tournament will determine the three players that will replace the bottom four. And then the other replacements will be the person who is the winner of the international series on the Asian tour.
When I was reading about like Varner and his decision and to go and all that, and he's straight up, he's a straight up guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He was like, listen, I've done this because my financial landscape needed changing and I've secured my kids' futures. I know what it's like to have nothing. And I know what it's like to grind it out on the PGA Tour as well. This is giving me like the backbone to do whatever I want for my kids and for my family.
Yeah.
Like, so any amateurs coming up, although they want to be the greatest, really, you want some bread, don't you?
Yeah.
You buy a jet ski and that.
Eugenio Chikara, he won one, didn't he?
Exactly.
He's made now.
Exactly.
Well, you know, he's the consequences of that. He's not going to be able to play on the PGA Tour, which is where the history and the legacy is, and he's not going to be able to play Ryder Cup.
He can still play Ryder Cup.
But can he, though?
If he beasted a few majors out in a few years.
Yeah, he can officially, but realistically.
No. Yeah.
He's not going to get there, is he? Do you know what I mean? He's not getting nowhere. He's not ranked in the world, is he? Because he's never played world ranked.
I think within 5 years, all this will change, right? Everything's got to have changed.
Well, this is going to be my next point is, you know, when you consider the Ryder Cup's in September, so there's a 2 year grace period till the next Ryder Cup.
It'll be changed before then. The world ranking.
That's what I'm thinking. A lot of players might have wanted to go because I know Greg Norman in the past has said, hasn't he, that there's been loads of people knocking on my door and I'm full now. That's what he said, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But maybe this is. A lot of people were taking a step back because they wanted to see how it played out, see how the world rankings played out, see now the Ryder Cup, because they wanted to play Ryder Cup, so they didn't want to take that chance. But now, obviously, the Ryder Cup from September will be over. Will that lead to more players thinking, you know what, like you've just said, in the next 2 years, it probably will be sorted. I'll jump now while probably. The iron's hot. Are we going to see a few more top players go over? But is there only way in through this promotional tournament, or will they get an invite over? Say you do lose 8 players, for example, and then 4 of them get, obviously, 1 through the international series and then 3 through the promotional tournament. Where are the other 4 or 5 coming from? Will it be players that get signed by live on contracts?
All remains to be seen, doesn't it? Is that all facts, by the way? Is that all facts? What's your source on that?
Sport Illustrated.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Is that credible?
Yeah.
And it was written by Alex Michelli.
Brilliant.
He's been involved in golf for 26 years, the founder of the Morning Maid. Yeah.
Well, mate.
I'll take it from him that it's the right way to go, but we'll see. But that's all I had for golf news then.
Same, brother.
That time again?
Yeah, man. It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust, the birdie boogie bust, birdie
boogie bust. Da, 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 da. My birdie's got nothing to do with golf, unfortunately, mate. It was seeing the Blue Boys, the Toffees, survive for another season of the Premier League, and more importantly, the last season at Goodison Park.
Do you know, like, obviously that was nerve-wracking, wasn't it?
Oh, it's horrendous.
But it was boss, wasn't it? Like, finishing like 13th or something. I was like, nah. Like,
yeah. It is. It's an intense.
Obviously, it's not like.
I've done it now 2 seasons in a row. I don't not want to do it again. Like, that Palace game, 2-0 down at half time to win 3-2 to survive. And then, obviously, that goal, 1-0 up. And then 10 minutes of extra time,
knowing
that Leicester had already won. And you're like, oh my God, just blow the whistle. It was horrendous.
Have you seen the? I know this is a golf podcast, but have you seen the scenes at the King Power when like someone tells them that Bournemouth have equalised?
No.
And they're all celebrating the next minute, like if they find out, and they're all like crying and that.
Nothing worse, is there? But do you know what? It was the same with those people saying like Leeds have gone 1-0 down there, Leicester are getting beat, and you're like, wow, but it's still 0-0. Do you know what I mean? You don't know who to believe, what to believe. But yeah, it was. That was me birdie. Yeah, there was a lot of golf news that could have been me birdie, but you know what? After that weekend,
fucking get in there.
Up the fucking Toffees, as they say.
Well, that's obviously a belt of birdie, but mine's Larazabal winning again, you know, back to back. Well, into back to back start on the DP World Tour, having a good run in the major.
Yeah.
And then getting nicely into the Ryder Cup spots and like contention and wanting to.
Well, yeah,
be playing it, you know,
definitely.
What I mean?
Yeah, not only that, now he's 8th in the DP World Tour rankings now, so that is basically propelling him up to top 10, getting a PGA Tour card.
No, exactly. Yeah,
so
my bogey is what's this off? Either die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
I don't know,
it's off Batman.
Oh, is it?
But that's Michael Blocker in a nutshell.
Michael Block's my bogey, yeah.
He should have just went out like with a hero's hurrah.
Yeah.
Instead of doing 60 podcasts he was and still chatting shit about him and then shooting 81 or something.
Do you know, he was still a hero though, hitting shots off the bridge and that. What got me was the fact that he turns around and says, I've got a world-class short game. If I had the distance, I'd be one of the best in the world. And then literally a couple of holes in, just knifes a chip straight across the green.
57 yards over the back, isn't it?
That's
it,
yeah.
57 yards.
You're just putting too much pressure on yourself.
If you've done that on Formby Hall or SNA on one of the few of the holes, there's not enough space. It'd be gone. You'd be out of bounds with a fucking 100 yarder. 57 yards over.
I know. Well, that's it. I don't know. Like, as soon as he was on the podcast, wasn't he? And he said them comments. And,
well, he generally said exactly word for word. He said, if I had Rory's left, if I was playing from where Rory's playing from, you know, I said I'd be one of the best players in the world because my iron game, my putting is world class.
Yeah, he said he wanted. And do you know what? You can't knock that.
But you know what? Another thing about
confidence,
it,
can you?
Yeah, but Rory was average was 336 for the week, and he was 297. He's not exactly a papper, is he?
No, you're right.
Like, what? I think he just lost his head, me.
Do you know what? Like, sometimes you say some things and...
He reminds me of you, you know?
Yeah, that's I'm backing him, to be
like,
fair.
And he was like...
He's my bogey because, like, he just shouldn't have said it. He should have, like you say, just should have went out as a hero, but he's still a hero, isn't he?
Yeah, but he is still a hero, obviously, and he's like, can't wait for the Canadian Open, and that boom, come on. But you got to remember, he's had 25 PGA Tour starts, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And...
He's been around the block.
He reminds me of you, you know, when he's like... Yeah, yeah. Everyone that golfers, they have days like this, don't they? But I've shot 58 and I've shot 59, so I'm going to call tomorrow and shoot a 59 and, like, let's go.
Listen, like, I'll hit a fucking 95 and then the next time I tee it up, I'll remember that time I shot a 69.
Yeah. No, it's good.
The 17th hole and the 9th hole at our place are the worst for me, tee shot-wise. But every time I step on, not so much the 9th because the 9th's in my head at the moment, but... the 17th, I remember playing a tournament and I won the tournament and I had bad feelings on the 17th and I hit this tee shot and it was like a perfect tee shot. Went miles down there by the bunker, hit it onto the middle of the green, 2 putter for par, just standard, nothing crazy. But I remember that tee shot now every time I stand on that tee, and it was just one tee shot from when I was like maybe 16, 17 years of age. Swing's completely different, game's completely different. I'm completely different, but like I always remember that. Just I'm always all about the positive vibes, me.
Yeah.
Keep your negativity out of me way.
Innit?
Yeah. No, it's the best way to be, though. And do you know what? That's where you've got to back him. But obviously, you just didn't need to go to the extent of saying, like, if I hit it as long as Rory, I'd be one of the best in the world, because, like, you wouldn't. Do you know what I mean?
There's 25 PGA Tour starts that you can look at all the data from and look at it and be like, you just wouldn't. Like, you've got up and down this many times, you've done this much stuff.
I think we can take from it that we half knew what he meant. Which meant to say he backs himself around the greens and he backs himself from 100. That's the strong part of his game. He's a good putter. Yeah. He showed the PGA champs that was a strong part of his game. So he probably does feel in his head that, you know, if you give me an extra 30, 40 yards off the tee, I could compete. I could genuinely compete, but he's probably used the wrong choice of words at that moment.
Another Batman. Very poor choice of words. Your bust.
Go first.
Go on then, yeah.
Right. So you mentioned Larrathabal as your birdie. Yeah, totally agree. My bust is that's his fourth victory in 14 months. Like you say, his second win in just 4 weeks. Made the cut in the PGA Championships. Obviously playing well. He's still outside top 50 in the world. And for me, it's just like, how is that even possible?
Yeah, that's the...
Sutton's got to give. Scotty Scheffler won twice within 4 weeks and was nearly world number one on the PGA Tour. So for me, we go on about it all the time. I won't keep going on about it, but that is my bust.
Field nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah, but it is nonsense. Go on, watch your bust.
So, Emmanuel Grillo, how do you say his name?
Emiliano Grillo.
On the 18th, it's his ball into that stupid viaduct thing.
Yeah.
And like, they're following it until it stops moving. But like, they've got the line where it like crossed the hazard. So why do you have to wait for it to stop moving? Like, when your ball goes into a hazard and it's underwater, you don't know if the ball's moving or not.
Yeah.
But you just drop a new one and play on because you know where it crossed.
Yeah.
Just because they could physically see it. And then I was thinking, okay, and then they were following it, and then the PGA Tour fella on the commentary said he could hit it. And, like, you just can't, like, because it's against the rules.
You can't hit a moving ball.
No, rule 10.1D is you must play the ball.
Fuck, I thought you hated them all.
I do. Well, I just,
you like this one?
No, I don't like this one. I'm just like saying
okay.
how mad it was that you were trying to tell him to play the ball when it was just not part of the rules.
Yeah.
So is it you must play the ball at rest and can't make a stroke at a moving ball?
Which
or you get a two-shot penalty?
Yes, one of the most basic ones, isn't it?
That's what I mean. So, like they were saying, he should just hit it out the water. What are you on about?
I know, with so much on the line as well. Goes and makes double.
You just don't need your ball getting followed by a camera for 5 minutes until it comes
to the rest. So, do they have to wait for it to stop before he can drop it? Is that what they're saying?
Well, that's what, yeah. They had to wait for it to come to rest before his ball was still in play.
What?
That's what I'm saying. That's why it was mental.
No, that was mental there.
I think because then he could have got the option to play from where it lied. Or take the drop.
Very strange.
But it was just a load of nonsense. I'm glad they're digging that place up.
Right, then we might as well continue on from the KLM Open then with Lalathabal,
yeah.
Great win for him. You know, we said this is a historic trophy. This is one of the best. This is right up there with the most famous trophies we have on the DP World Tour. Obviously means a lot to him. He was emotional with his last win. Obviously, Ryder Cup contender, definitely somebody you put in the team. But I'd say about 2 months ago, I wasn't even considering him.
No?
No, was you?
Probably, like,
didn't even cross my mind, Pablo Lalathabal, a couple of months ago.
Well, remember him and Ryan Fox had that good little stint last year where they were doing well, like, always, they were always both up there.
Yeah, but I look at it like, and I know you don't just go off the Hero Cup, but the Hero Cup was basically for Luke Donald to say, let's see how he's get on in this environment and let's sort of test the water with it. Now, I know Lalathabal, he played the live event, didn't he?
Does he get a ban now then?
No, he said, well, but he said that he had to deal with the DP World Tour to play in London.
Well, I just don't get why they're all doing different things. Like, as well take it and banned, like, all of them resigning the memberships. Some people staying on. We spare what you call it, sneaking just in there.
Say it again.
Like, they're all getting different punishments and different things. Like, them all, like the Stenson, Garcia, Westwood, Poulter taking the memberships away, or taking getting a ban, him getting away with it because he had a deal. It's like, it's all a bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah, they've obviously must have looked at each individual one on its own merit because he's come and spoke to them about playing it, but they agreed. So it's
Sergio legging him without paying the fine, and that it's like, what?
Maybe he went on an invitation and just played it as an invitation, but didn't actually join Liv. Whereas the ones who signed,
it
wasn't
invitational anyway, wasn't it?
They all were invitationals, you had all 8 of them.
Yeah, so.
But now, obviously, some of them have signed contracts with Liv, haven't they?
Yeah, now, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
So if he just went for an invitational and got the agreement to play it, he hasn't broke any rules, has he? So that's probably why he's got away with it.
Whereas maybe, other people, I just think it's all a bit up in the air, isn't it?
Yeah, we spoke about this in the past, haven't we? I don't think that it needs it. But I honestly, like, with him not playing, with him playing the Liv event, and I know, obviously, we know he got permission and whatever, but there's been no punishments, but he's just never been someone that I thought about playing Ryder Cup. I don't know why I never thought about him, but I always thought it would be obviously the eight that we
speak
about. You
just had your eye on the young guns, didn't you?
Well, just the eight that we speak about, and then the ones who are playing consistently. Yeah, he obviously had a break from golf for a bit, didn't he? Was he injured or something? He didn't play for a while, did he? Or his game wasn't the best for a while? What was he saying last interview? It's been a tough road to get back to this
back
position.
To
so,
is, yeah.
But yeah, more than now you would expect them to be on the
definitely
in the field.
That's
definitely
his ninth DP World Tour victory, isn't it? Yeah. And as we said, second in like two starts, but the way he like settled into his round as well, like, and then he obviously started rocky,
double
on the second, and then back-to-back birdies on 6 and 7, and then birdied 3 of the last 4, including 17 and 18 to win by 1 when Ortega was like birdied 16 to pull within one of them, and then for him to just pull ahead and go bang bang, it shows like panache, doesn't it?
Panache, lovely.
Absolute
panache
for the Ryder Cup, yeah. Pablo Panache.
So we should have called the pod.
Yeah. With someone who can do that under that sort of pressure, I'd yeah, you'd want him in your team all day, wouldn't you?
Definitely, yeah. And we know obviously how good the Spanish are in those tournaments. The records speak for themselves, don't we? So hopefully he can offer that Spanish flair. And yeah, obviously get us back to winning when we take it to Rome in September.
Yeah, go
on.
I just can't see us doing anything like that in Rome. Can you?
Don't know, you know. I think not last year, when it was at Whistling Straits, the American team was like really, really strong, and I know they still are, but I don't know. I think John Ram and Rory are different now.
Yeah.
The form is really picked up. Matt Fitzpatrick's a major champion now.
Yeah.
I think Hovland is performing well in the majors and really good. You know, you've got players like Larathavalu who are in some form. I think we've got a chance. Me, Adrian Maronk's winning all the time, is going to be strong. And then I think if you go 12 for 12, the much stronger. I think we can do it, mate.
That's right.
Up the Europeans.
Love the positivity.
Told you, lad. Keep that negativity off the grid, please. Yeah,
sorry, mate.
It's okay. The only other thing about the KLM Open then was just the Beat the Pro that they do, and Mike Lorenzo Vera making his hole in one on the eighth hole, 158 yards, used an 8-iron. After he said he's played golf now for 32 years and he's never had a single hole in one. Said that his caddy said to him when they started working together, "Oh, you've never had any. You're going to have one with me." He got his first ever hole in one of 32 years.
Got his caddy's number there.
No, yeah. Good luck, champ. Yeah, no, but his boss to see, obviously.
It's a bit heavy if that Beat the Pro, though, wasn't it?
The what?
Bit heavy.
As in?
Like all the little kids getting topping it into the water and that. Like, it's like, come on. Like, at least make it a little bit easier.
And I'll give them a better tea.
It's a bit of a hard shot, wasn't it? Like, that young girl just topping into the water.
Yeah.
It's like...
Obviously, we've mentioned Liv there, haven't we? Before we move on to the Charles Schwab, we mentioned about the new Liv relegation format, and obviously the Liv event.
HV3 getting a W.
Yeah, congrats to Ricey as well.
Nice check for Ricey. His post. Well, you don't know if they get. Did they get the win? They still get that, even though they get money for caddying. Wonder if they've got a different deal.
Maybe, I don't know. They didn't announce yet. We're getting Ricey back on, wouldn't it? Talk about it now.
Definitely talking about how Liv is and all that.
Yeah, we'll have to reach out to him and see if he's up for it.
But that video just posted on the socials there of Varner when he's just like, "How do you do it?" And he's like, "Well, what you do is you get a 6-iron, you look at it, and you say everyone confident about the shot. Then you chunk it, you get a little lucky, and then you go and make the 2 putts." And I was just like, "Wow, you are sick, you mate."
Yeah. That's it, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Golf's just not a game of perfect, is it?
No, it's not.
Golf is not a game of perfect. So pretty sure he's at some more bad shots throughout the 54 holes, hasn't he?
I'd say so, yeah.
It's all about the final score when you put that 54th hole final putt in.
It is.
Yeah. But no, it's good for him to finally get a win. Obviously, he won the Saudi International, didn't he? He's obviously won a couple of other events. And he's always been a decent player. He's never been one of the ones you put up there as like the best in the world, but he's always been a challenger, hasn't he?
No, he's decent, yeah.
And it was definitely good to see. The Range goals are doing well, aren't they?
They are. I think they come third this week. Yeah. Did the Team Talk won it?
Team Talk won it, yeah. James Pyatt played really well, didn't he?
Did he, yeah. I haven't seen that. I just know Brandon Grace. Varner won by 2 from Brandon Grace.
Yeah, Pyatt shot 66 final day to secure the win for them. I think it was his round that actually
done it.
Got it over the line, yeah. But
maybe.
Yeah, this I think at the bottom at the moment is Bernd Wiesberger, Siwon Kim, and I'm not sure who the other person is. They're the ones who are looking to, and it's obviously four of them, isn't there, who are looking to face relegation.
Yeah, I've seen a couple floating around there as well, like GMAC and like a few others that haven't really done much since they went over.
Yeah.
Flirting with it, so interesting.
It would be interesting to see that, yeah. Keep an eye on it, yeah, but no. Obviously, the next live event now is going to be Valderrama, isn't it? At the end of
this month.
That'll
be a tough test for them, won't it?
It's like a 4-week break, and there's obviously the US Open before, and then obviously the Open Championship shortly after. So, and then obviously they'll have their big run up then to the Championships in November.
Yeah. Do you know what we did? Bit of golf news that we did forget about there because it's only just broke. Rory's playing the Scottish Open.
He is, yeah. Seeing that, yeah.
So, that's big, that.
Is that a full field now? Like all the others have confirmed, haven't they? I know John Rahm's already confirmed, hasn't he?
I'm not too sure. I've just seen today that Rory's welcome home to all that to Rory. So,
boss.
Yeah. So, well, welcome to the home of golf or whatever. He chats. Did they, well, did they, that, that's what the post was saying.
Yeah, it's not like St. Andrews, though, is it?
No, no, but they were saying, like, welcome to the homeland of golf, whatever.
Oh, right, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Scotland.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so, you briefly mentioned in your bogey then, the Charles Schwab Challenge, Emiliano Grillo.
Yeah.
Making five birdies, obviously leading up to the 18th. We've mentioned his double bogey there, but it was enough to get him into a playoff. That's his first win on the PGA Tour in almost 8 years, though.
I know. And he won his first start as a PGA Tour member, so you're off to a flyer, aren't you, thinking, and you're going to wait 8 years again to get your next one. It's like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, this is just disappointed with Harry Hall's final round, me. He got it to 12 under through two holes.
Yeah.
On the final round.
Had a decent lead, yeah.
The playoffs 8 under, and he bogeys the last to miss out on it.
Well, yeah, I think he had five bogeys in his last 13 holes.
Only two balls in the water on 18 all week, two drives, Grillo's and Hall's.
Yeah.
But Grillo obviously had enough of a cushion to...
Just shows the pressure. You go back to Mito Pereira and the PGA champs when JT won it.
Of course.
There's no need for the ball to go in that creek. No. That's miles right, and he puts it in there. It's what it does to you, do you know what I mean? It's mad what goes on in your head. I think Harry Hall's one, though. He went back-to-back double bogeys on round three, didn't he?
Yeah.
When he had a decent lead. He was like 12 under. And
he's never had them feels before, has he?
He went double-double and then ended up getting it back to 10 under, I think. He was leading going into the final day, so he sort of survived. But you just always felt that. I know he had that amazing first round, didn't he? He was leading by quite a way. Obviously shooting 800, was it 800 in total?
He shot 62, didn't he?
Is unbelievable around that track, isn't it? So, you know, shooting that and then, you know, 800 ends up winning being what you need for the whole tournament.
Heartbreaking, isn't it?
It is, yeah, when you think about
When you're seven.
Yeah. When you think about it, he's had a back-to-back double bogey. He's got himself, hasn't let that finish his tournament, got himself back up there. But then obviously... You know, like
I think he had it to 12 under twice, one in the second round and then once in the final round.
We had the third round, he was 12 under and went double-double, 8 under.
Yeah, but then he got it back to 12 under in the final round.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Right after back. Birdie in two, one and two, and then he finishes 7 under.
Yeah, five bogeys, his last 13 holes to finish 7 under.
That, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what else is mad, right? Scotty Scheffler, yeah. We obviously had a hole-in-one, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he's...
Finished third.
Yeah, but he's finished third, one shot outside the playoff. His irons and driving, strokes gained, he's number one for the both. Number one over the last 6 months, if you add everything together. And he's 70th putting this week. He was the second worst of all the people who made the cut putting.
He does always say, though, doesn't he, if my putting's on, I'm hard to beat. But when it's off, because that's one thing that you notice about him.
It's his reads, though, I think.
His reads, you think so? I think he misses a few short because I think he misses a few short. When I say short, I don't mean like tap-ins. I mean like those 8 footers that you see the majority of that level of player knock in a lot. Them 8 to 10 footers. I think he misses a lot of them, mate.
He's 144th in putting, you know, on the PGA Tour.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's mad, that, isn't it?
Just shows how good he is, tee to green, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, he's the man, tee to green, isn't he?
He is, yeah, leads the way. He leads the way in most statistics, really, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he's the world number one.
114th, sorry.
How can you be 114th in putting and be world number one?
That's what I'm saying.
It's imagine scary if, to think if he had Tiger's one, mate.
Imagine
what he
if he wasn't that.
And if he can, I didn't know that. If he could, I always knew he was a bit ropey with his putter, but wow.
Mad.
That's unbelievable, that, yeah.
Yeah.
And Hovland as well continued good form, heading into the Memorial. He finished 16th.
Yeah.
I think he's got a major in this year, mate.
Nah,
I think he win the Open.
No way.
Yes,
absolutely. Yes, most way. Certainly not.
He will definitely.
I'm going to make Open. You pick him in your Open picks. Otherwise, it's going off.
Well, see, I only pick off the stats, mate. So if the stats aren't leading towards him, then
you
I won't
just
pick
said
him.
He's going to win.
No, I think he will. Yeah, but
so pick him then.
Well, see, I don't know. I was going to play between now and the Open. Do I? Given current form and how he's playing, I think he's going to win the Open. Okay. Times can change. He might get injured and withdraw. I'm going to pick him now. Am I? Be stupid, Kevin.
Shitbag.
Porsche European Open.
Green Eagle Golf Course, Hamburg, Germany.
40th edition.
Yeah. So this is the last one for the US Open qualifying then this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Romain Lasquet and Simon Forstrom.
Are they top?
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously good performances from them. We'll see them obviously playing LACC in a couple of weeks' time.
Nice.
Yeah. Been 1995 since the last time a German won.
Yannick Paul's flew back to
yeah.
Have a little nose, any?
I was going to say, yeah, Bernard Lange got the victory back then, but Yannick Paul is looking to obviously
emulate
it. Yeah, get the first win in. What will that be? You know, what's that? Nearly 30 years, isn't it? 28 years is the last winner. So
wow,
he's got a good group as well. Max Kiefer, who's also a German, and Rasmus Højgaard. So that just stands out. Three baller. Baldwin's also got a strong group. He's joined by fellow Englishman Dan Bradbury, who had a good start to the season, and Ryder Cup hopeful Robert McIntyre. It's a good three ball. Obviously, Ewan Mansell and Hilly Kittle are all in the field this week as well.
Yeah, it's good. Mm. It's a solid field. Like, obviously, I had Ewan in my bet last week, but you know what? I'm going to keep on him, you know. I'm going to put Ewan in again.
Yeah, he had a good finish, didn't he?
He had a decent finish, but
yeah,
I'm going to go for you and me.
To win it. Yeah, I think Yannick Paul, me.
Yeah.
I think he's trending in the right direction. What's interesting on this one is it's 7,455 yards, but it's a par 73. The back nine's a par 38. The six par fives in total, but three of the last four holes are par fives as well.
Wow.
So, you know what these are like, the way they hit it. Distances normally get up in two, can't they? And the majority of them.
Anything can happen there, can't it? In that sort of finish.
Yeah. I mean, eagle.
Crazy, that.
Yeah. And there's a par three in between as well. So, a little tasty hole in one.
No way.
A lot can happen. Yeah. So, it'll definitely be an interesting finish to this one over in Hamburg. So, looking forward to see how that goes.
I am as well.
Yeah. Yannick Paul, I think, will get that one done.
I think the big Jabowski, me.
Right then. The return of the Bogey Boys Fantasy Golf League.
Yes.
Props to Rich Healy leading the way.
I honestly believe that if we'd have had that extra tournament, I'd have done well this week.
You were not going to pick Hall.
Grillo. I always pick Grillo and Hall.
No, you do not.
I have picked Grillo and Hall before.
Yeah. Now, do you know what? I don't know why we didn't do the Charles Schwab Challenge.
I think because your OCD took over a bit, didn't it? You wanted to have three tournaments per month.
I think it was.
So you couldn't let it. Yeah.
Maybe I just needed a break because I knew it would all fall on me.
What would you have to do?
To text the stat man, don't I, and say,
oh, yeah. Where's the pots?
Where's the pots, Alex? Yeah. No, big shout out as well to statbetting.com. Obviously, none of this would be as stressless if it weren't for Alex.
No.
So I really do appreciate, and Kev really appreciates as well.
Of course I do.
Yeah. What we're doing there. So, I mean, obviously the game's going really well as well, isn't it?
Yeah, people seem to be loving it. Yeah, obviously anyone that wants to get involved, they can get involved for the month of June. And obviously there's also a major in there. So there's like £3 or £4, you are getting quite a lot of value.
Yeah. And even if you don't win, it's still fun, isn't it? Obviously we're going to be introducing some more elements to it as it grows. This is its pilot year on the automated system. So, you know, as it goes on, we're going to be doing private leagues. We're going to be doing back with the bookies where you can back your picks and your selections for top 10s, top 20s, top 30s. And there's no end to what we can do once we get it integrated with the betting site. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the season finishes. Like we say, we're nearly halfway there now with the tournaments already.
Mm-hmm.
Rich Healy's got about 150-point lead, but
yeah,
that can be squashed fairly quickly and beaten you by, I think, is it 80 points?
Yeah, something like that. That's getting squashed this week, though.
Catch me if you can. But yeah, Muirfield Village.
Dublin, Ohio. 7,533 yards, so it is a bit of a beast.
Doesn't just tell the story, though, does it? Obviously, no. with the rough. This is what they say, isn't it? This would be a perfect US Open venue for how tough it is. Obviously, tight fairways, thick rough, firm, fast greens, which make landing zone difficult because you've got to land it in certain spots to hold it on the greens. I think it was 2 years ago. What did Jack say? That was the final bite of the apple when he made all the new 18 new greens and made deeper bunkers, didn't he? Completely renovated it. Was it 2020, was it?
2020, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Tiger said this one in particular is very special to Jack. It's very special to us as players. Wood said, obviously, because he's won what he's done to the golf course, but more so what he's meant to us as players. So it's obviously a special thing to win at Jack's place. Like,
yeah.
Billy Horschel's the defending champion. and then five holes coming in. There's some stretch of holes then.
Yeah, what's interesting about the last two seasons is obviously we know back in 2021, John Rahm had a six-shot lead, didn't he, after withdrawal because of his COVID. He had a positive COVID test, didn't he?
Yeah.
Cantlay went on to win that, got his second win there. And then last season, going into the final round, Billy Horschel had a five-shot lead, ended up winning by four. So I think it's a really tough track, isn't it? You know, you're looking at, like, since the changes that were made in 2020, about 9, 10, 11 under is normally the score that you're looking for. I know Horschel got to 13 last year. But, yeah, tough setup, innit? You're going to have to strike the ball well from tee to green. I mean, this week I've gone for strokes gained tee to green, par 5 scoring and bogey avoidance as my main three. But again, I think you've just got to... There's no hiding on the scores. You've got to play well.
Anything with an approach of, like, driving, you need to drive. You just don't want to be in that rough.
Yeah. You just basically... You've got to just play well. Like I say, there's times when you can play decent and win a tournament because you put well or you knock it out of position, but you get away with it because you've missed in the right place. There's no hiding.
No.
Muirfield Village, it's just an absolute nightmare if you're not playing well. So, I'm looking forward to this one. You know,
who are you going with then? Who's your pot one?
Well, I've gone Patrick Cantlay.
Right, okay.
He's up there at 10-1. He's had four top four finishes and two wins in his last six starts here, and he leads the tour on par 5 scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my main reason for picking him, just because he loves the place, always does well around here. So
I was looking at that, and the band of the bookies, don't get it wrong, right? Rory 12-1. So they, yeah. I feel like they know something that we don't about Rory. Like, I know he hasn't been playing the best, but...
Well, Billy Horschel's 100-1.
Yeah, but his form's awful, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not playing the best.
He's come off the back of two missed cuts. He hasn't really... The only last time we done well was the Zurich. He's got a partner.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I never picked him. What was your pot one?
Mine is Scotty Scheffler.
Of course it is.
But as I just said, 114th in putting, but he still nearly made the playoff last week at 7-under. Like,
if he puts well.
Yeah, off the tee, first strokes game, first approach, first greens and regulation, first total drive and second. Obviously, world
number
one.
It's like the perfect prep for this tournament as well. He's just played a really tough track last week, played a really tough track at the PGA Championship. So, like, again, this is another tough track. You've got the US Open in a couple of weeks, which is going to be a tough track. So it's like, he's sort of gearing himself up for these, because you've got to be patient, haven't you? It's not a birdie fest. You've got to deal with the frustrations. And it's a good pick. It's obviously a Scotty Scheffler puts well.
Yeah.
He's the man to beat, isn't he?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your pot two?
At 125-1, I've gone for Adam Hadwin.
Snap.
Have you?
Yeah.
Sounds. My reasons, he finished tied 18th here last year, so he performs well on this track. As I mentioned, the three things I'm going for are strokes gained, tee to green, par 5 scoring, and bogey avoidance. He's 63rd in strokes gained, tee to green, 54th in par 5 scoring for the season, and he's 13th on the tour for bogey avoidance. So doesn't make many mistakes, and I think when you're only needing to get it to 9, 10, 11 under, I think he's a good shout for maybe not winning, but he's definitely got a top 10 in him.
Yeah, well, his total driving, he's like 46. The strokes gained putting, he's 28th. He's 26th in driving accuracy, and he's 34th in strokes gained total. The only thing that I was looking at not picking him is, like, he's 60th in greens in regulation. So that's one big thing where I thought might be letting him down a little bit. But
the short game's decent, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He's good in scrambling. So we've both led... All roads lead to Adam Hadwin in pot two, anyway.
Definitely, yeah. Pot three, I've gone for Joseph Bramlett at 200-1.
Who is that?
He's actually doing all right this season.
Is he?
Yeah, he's made 15 out of 21 cuts, and he's had three top 10s so far just on this season.
On the PGA Tour?
On the PGA Tour, yeah. He's 30th in strokes gained tee to green for the season. He's almost at 70% for greens in regulation. He's 57th in bogey avoidance and 52nd in par 5 scoring. So I think for a pot 3, he's definitely going to have a chance. He's definitely going to make the cut.
Nice.
Have you gone for?
I've gone for Seb Straka. So he's coming off a tied 7th at the PGA and a tied 29th this week. Strokes game 52nd, but his approach is, he's 18th in approach to the green, and his total driving, he's 35th, 47th in greens in regulation, and then, but he's 59th in strokes game putting. So just think that for a pot 3, about 200-1 or something, I think he's like a great pick.
Yeah, this place, it's, putting's not a big concern, is it? If you get into the green and giving yourself chances, it doesn't matter that you're not knocking them all in.
No.
Because you're not chasing those birdies either. I think...
like you said, bogey avoidance is a massive one, isn't it?
I think so. Just being patient.
Pars are good. Hitting the fairway and giving yourself them chances. Like, it's... You can... Like, doubles. There were so many double bogeys this week because if you miss the fairway,
yeah,
you're screwed, basically.
That's it. That's where I think Scotty Scheffler's a great pick, in the sense that he's had to play that patient game last 2 weeks in a row. So his mindset is of patience. Don't worry about chasing birdies. And obviously it's shown his last two times he's been out there, the PJ and the...
Yeah.
He's had top 5 finishes, has he? Did he finish 3rd in the PJ as well?
I think so, yeah. Can't remember.
Flying. Par 4, I've gone Ben Taylor.
Right.
750-1. 72nd in strokes gained, tee to green. He's 93rd in bogey avoidance, so not too bad. He was still in the positive in the statistics overall. He's under par on the par 5 score, and a 4.68, although he is 147th. But what edged it for me is that he's 54th in the FedEx rankings for this season, and he's secured 4 top 10s. And his putting's also off the charts. I know I did mention there, putting's not really something you want to look at, but I think in a par 4, for somebody like a Ben Taylor, who has had top 10 so far this season, he is playing well, he's 54th in the FedEx, you know, putting could come in.
What's his putting? What strokes gained is he putting?
6th.
No way.
Yeah.
Sick, that. I've gone for David Lingmuth. Hit and miss, right? So, he's made 9 cuts, missed 11. But when you actually look at the ones he does make the cut, so the top 6 of the players, top 10 of the Honda. So, like, he's either like hit or missed. Do you know what I mean? It's mad. Previous winner here as well in 2015. He's 14th in driving accuracy, 33rd in putting, and 92nd in approach. But just off the tee seems to be his issue a little bit in his actual strokes game, because he's 185th off the tee and 153rd in strokes gained total. So obviously, as you'd expect in part 4, not the best numbers, but he is accurate and he's a decent putter.
Brilliant.
So
not catching me this week, then, are you?
Definitely am.
No way. We'll have to start, because we're so close to each other, we need to start edging our bets, don't we?
Yeah.
We're getting into this now, aren't we?
Definitely. A
bit competitive. Yeah, so the 9th elevated event of the season this then, so what comes with that is a big purse for the winner. Interesting that Ryan Fox, Nicolai Højgaard and Lucas Herbert are all in the field this week. Obviously, Fox and Højgaard are on special temporary memberships, and Lucas Herbert's got a card as well. So, fresh off the, obviously, playing European Tour. No, Lucas Herbert has been playing one of the European Tour this year, didn't he? So, be interesting to see how they go, and they were all sitting in pot 2 this week.
Yeah, seeing that, yeah.
Yeah, and I know, obviously, his form's not being the best, but I think in 2020, they rescheduled the tournament, and they had the Workday Charity Open at this event in 2020, and it was when Morikawa won here.
Ah, right, that was that then, was it?
Yeah, beat JT in a playoff. So, yeah, be interesting to see how Morikawa, he's not really playing well at all, is he? So,
no.
I'm pretty sure someone of his talent, he's got to get back there sooner or later. Hopefully it's not this week and Cantley gets the win, but looking forward to watching it. Seeing what comes of the golf.
Same.
Okay then, are we done?
We are.
Okay, hope everyone enjoys the golf and we'll see you all soon.
Ciao.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy, is he out of sync.